Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies. With your host, T. Morris. Hey, everybody, did you miss us?
This is great. Anyone want a hug? No hugs.
No hugs.
I'm not hugging you.
You're not hugging us. What's going on? Oh, it's because we were away for a month. Sorry about that, everybody. Things got a little hectic after the holidays. I didn't think it would get as hectic as it did during the holidays, but no, it got worse. And here we are back once again with Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. So the question is, what after a month am I going to come back with? Would you believe we got voicemail? We got voicemail, and here it is.
Yes, sir. I have a simple question for you. I'm listening to one podcast. I am actually a new beginner podcast, and I just had a question concerning if I already had a website, would it be appropriate to use that same website for podcasts and the name of the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. Just wanted to get some clarification on that. And as I was sitting and listening to the podcast, I was, you know, drawn to ask you that question.
So that's a really good question. If you already have a website, can you use it for a podcast? So simple answer is it depends. And I hate to say something that simple. It depends. It depends on what kind of a website you have. So let's go in and let's step back a bit. If you wanted to do a podcast, how hard would it be to take a standard HTML website and turn it into a podcast-ready site? It's actually pretty easy, provided you have an XML file that you have as a separate entity on your website. In other words, you would be able to put on your standard HTML website. And when I say what I define as a standard HTML website is a website that has no extra bells or whistles. It's something that could be created in a text program. It's going to have some basic links. It'll have some pages. It'll have everything that you expect from a standard website. And I'll get into why that's important to know later on. If you have a standard HTML website, then really what you need to do is you need to create an extension for this website to make it podcast ready. And that's usually a .xml or extensible markup language or .xml. And what that does is that you go on ahead and you put all your RSS feed into the XML page, and then you manually update it. Now, you manually update it, and then any podcatcher that is pointing not to your website, but to the XML file will be able to read the podcast without a problem. You can then go on ahead and brand it with the name of the website. That's fine, too. And whatever your .com is, it's fine, so long as it goes to the actual URL that you're going to plug into any of your podcatchers, whether it's Stitcher, whether it's the iTunes app, whether it's the podcast app. It has to be going to your website / podcast.xml or whatever you call the .xml file. Okay? That's if you have a standard HTML website. But here's the big question. Why would you have an HTML website? Why would you want to have the responsibility of constantly updating by hand an XML file? It can be easy, but one typo and your podcast stops working. So what we recommend, we being me and Chuck Tomasi, we recommend that you find a blog. And the reason why the blog is important is because it's using RSS, or really simple syndication, which is a flavor of XML. With RSS, anytime you update your blog, automatically your XML is updated, your podcast is updated, and it all happens without any fuss, any muss. Rarely will iTunes or any podcatcher that earlier mentioned Stitcher or Google Play, any of those apps, they will understand what happens when an XML file in a blog is updated. It's automatic. It just happens. And That's how they're programmed to run. So right there, that's half of your work. Half your work is just taken care of by the blog. So if you want to have a blog on your current URL, on your current domain, that's fine too. So I'm going to make the assumption, sir, this caller, by the way, is from Tallahassee, Florida. I never got your name. I got your number, so I will send you a WhatsApp and let you know that this is going to be going up in the next episode. But first off, one, you're in Tallahassee, Florida, so I got massive jelly because you guys have had some great weather of late, and we're here in Virginia, and it's been cold. So, yeah, enjoy that warm weather. Secondly, about Tallahassee, I'm just going to call you Mr. Tallahassee, if that's okay. So, Mr. Tallahassee, if you have a website already, then I'm going to make the bold assumption that you already have a URL that's going with it. And if you've got the URL and you've got your website, you can go to your server, theoretically, and take your current website offline and put in its place a blog, be it WordPress or some other blogging engine. All right. Now, I'm going to recommend WordPress because that's what we go into in the book. WordPress is also very easily expanded upon. So you can put in widgets. You can put in extra plugins. You can expand what you can do on a WordPress blog. One of the things that we talk about too on WordPress is something called Blueberry. And that's Blurry. And Blueberry are the people that put together PowerPress, which is the extension that we use to power this podcast and one that I use to power other podcasts that I produce. I have had on tmorris.com, which is my standard website, it's the author website, it's my geek rant website. Well, on there, I have had the standard HTML site before. But then when I went from one web host to another web host, I took tmorris.com with me and then put in its place, instead of an HTML site, I put on there a WordPress site. So what do I mean by hosting, and what do I mean by taking my web domain and moving it to another web host? So to have a website, you should have some sort of host. We talk about out-of-the-box solutions like Libsyn.com. We talk about that in the blog, on Podcasting for Dummies and on this podcast as well, where Libsyn.com allows you to just have everything in one location. It's a turnkey operation. You pay them X amount of dollars. They say, here's your blog, here's your domain, start producing. We got you covered. And they take care of everything. Now, that's great and all, but Libsyn will then start charging you by storage fees. They'll say, well, you can have so many episodes online, but we're going to charge you if you want to keep all of your episodes online. And if you've got long episodes, you're going to be burning through more bandwidth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And these are all things we go into and we explain in detail in Podcasting for Dummies, which is available at bookstores everywhere. Now, there are some web hosts. And the one that I'm going to talk about right now is DreamHost, and that's at dreamhost.com. And over at DreamHost, they have what's called one-click install. So you basically make sure that DreamHost is pointing to your domain, which is separate from the actual website, the actual physical website where your website happens. The domain has to see your website, and or your web host in this case. So you basically go to whomever is registering your domain. That could be GoDaddy. That could be Network Solutions. It could be a number of different people that are hosting that domain. And then you say, my current web host is, in this case, DreamHost. So now it points to a blank website. You have the choice of either creating a brand new HTML website, or in DreamHost, you say, one-click install, make me a WordPress blog. And it'll go ahead and it'll do that automatically. You then plug in your own template. You plug in your own plugins. You go on ahead and you take care of it. Now, DreamHost will help you if there is a hosting issue. But you are responsible for making sure that everything is running smoothly on your blog. If, however, you have some problems with your blog, you can go to DreamHost, and their tech support should help you figure out little things that may or may not be operating right on your blog at the time. Now, I hope this isn't too technical, but we do go into detail of this in the book. This is the long answer to the question that you had. And that's what I mean by it depends. It depends on exactly how and exactly what kind of podcast you want to host. And it also depends on whether or not you want to update the XML by hand. I don't know why you'd want to. Or if you want to go on ahead and just take your entire HTML site down and put in its place a blog. Now, there's a third option I haven't talked about too. And that's actually going to WordPress.com and saying, I want to use one of your templates. Now, they do have packages at WordPress.com for podcasting, but that's a separate thing altogether. They'll give you a blog for free, but if you want a podcast off of WordPress.com, that's a little different too. And then there are all these other little details you might want to think about. Like, for example, okay, let's say you have a domain and you want to keep it simple. Well, then let's say you start up something at Libsyn. You can set yourself up at Libsyn, but then turn your URL into a redirect. And that way you never see anything behind the scenes. It's just, okay, www.mywebsite.com. And when people go to that, instead of going to mywebsite.com, they go to Libsyn. And they go to your directory in Libsyn where your podcast is. That's another option. One of the things that should be your takeaway from this, Mr. Tallahassee, is that you have a lot of different options ahead of you. There are easy ones, there are turnkey ones, there are manual ones. And you have to decide how much work do I want to invest. There is going to be a learning curve. One way or another, it's going to be a learning curve. You're either going to have to teach yourself how to update XML by hand. You're going to have to jump over to a different web host that offers one-click installs. Or you got to learn how to do a URL redirect and have them point to a turnkey option like Libsyn. Question is, which one is the most hassle-free? And I'm going to tell you right now, the most hassle-free one involves not updating your XML by hand. You really don't want to do that. I have done it before. I didn't enjoy it then. And I still deal occasionally with clientele who want to update their URL by hand. And I ask them, why are you doing this? And actually, one of the clients said, I enjoy it. That's what you call a hardcore code monkey. But I am not going to endorse that kind of thing. In fact, we had an entire section about updating your XML by hand. And Chuck and I took it out because we were like, do we know anybody that codes by hand? And I remember saying to Chuck, well, I know people who do code by hand. They're not going to buy this book. So, but that is an option you have. It is a viable option. I'm not going to recommend it, though. Why would you do that to yourself? So I hope this answers your question, Mr. Tallahassee, and I hope everything works out. And I'd love to hear back from you again. I would love to hear which option you went with, which one worked best for you. But there is going to be some research. There's going to be some research ahead of you. So let me go on ahead and let me drop those plugs one more time. First off, if you want to find out more about one-click installs and about the services that they offer, and I personally find they are economical. They're not too expensive. They don't put too much of a strain on my wallet. But it's DreamHost.com. I've been with them for well over a decade now. Wow, I've been with them for over a decade. That's a long time. But been working with them for over a decade. Been very happy with them. Second thing, check out Libsyn.com. That's Libsyn. Liberated Syndication. That's what it stands for. Good people at Libsyn. Again, they've been doing this since the beginning. I mean, I can tell you, I know the people that started Libsyn. Good people, great ideas, and the fact that they're still going, that just makes me proud. So go on ahead and check them out, Libsyn. Third option, find out how to do an XML extension for a podcast. If you did a search for podcast, XML, or podcast, extendable markup language, chances are you'll find this is how you make an XML file by hand. It's just it really becomes a matter of how do you make your standard HTML point in the right direction, and then what's the address that you give iTunes to see the RSS feed, which is what you're creating. The XML that you're creating for a standard HTML website is a very boiled down, simplified version of RSS. You just have to be confident with it and know what to change and how to update it by hand. Again, that's the option I am not going to recommend because there's a lot of work involved. So thanks for the voicemail, Mr. Tallahassee. Now, if you want to send voicemail to Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, you can reach out to us at 703-791-1701. You can also reach out to us at pfdauthors@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram, all under PFD Authors. And thank you all very much for listening to this episode of Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, which is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States 3.0 license. And you can find out more about that at creativecommons.org. So until next time, pod on, everybody.